to the Road Racing News podcast. My name is Stevie Rowe, editor of roadracingnews.co.uk, and as always, I'm joined by my dad, Steve Rowe.
Howdy, everybody.
Well, for today's podcast, we thought we'd chat about our classic TT memories. I've been reported on it since its inception in 2013, but the first classic TT races I've seen have been since 2017. In that time, we've seen who's who of international road racing, show the talents, furthermore, around the mountain course. Well, last year we saw Bruce Anstey claim an emotional victory on his return to racing in the lightweight classic TT, and you had the privilege to get to the winner's podium.
Yeah, just got there, but I chased up to the paddock. By the time I got my bib and sound on, it was on his last lap, so I just got to the winner's enclosure to see him come in and do his thing late, taking the win. So that was really, really good to see that. Like, he's suffered a heck of a lot this last couple of years, as Bruce, as everybody knows.
John True Curry.
And he threw the gauntlet down on me. Yeah. They say it's only the classic, it's only a 250. Well, there's a heck of a lot more to that racing, like, isn't there, than that, and especially racing the roads. And I mean, they had some good opposition there, so yeah.
Yeah, I mean, David Todd second, James Hind.
You know, two young men that are, you know, they're out there to win races, make themselves famous. Not saying that they're not famous already, but Bruce, he did it again, didn't he? What can you say about him? He's an enigma, isn't he? We used to banter the word a lot, don't we, legend? But Bruce is a legend, isn't he? Yeah.
I mean, for me, arguably, he's the greatest overseas road racer of all time. Arguably, that's only in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, well, everyone's entitled to the opinions there.
Also, I know people like Ago, and there's all kinds of things over the years. Yeah. But in that race, obviously, you mentioned James Hind in third on the Dennis Trollope race in Yamaha. And great to see the Dennis Trollope team back in the winner's circle, podium finisher circle.
Oh, yeah, that's another famous team from down the decades. But going back to Bruce, who was on the Paget's 250 Honda, so now not taking it away from Dennis Trollope, the Trollope racing team, Paget's racing really are steeped in history, obviously based in Batley in Yorkshire. But one thing I'd just like to mention was on that evening at the end of all the celebration, and Bruce had got his stroke and he was getting ready to leave, Clive Paget came up to us, only me and
Matt Faulkner
left there, was taking some pickies, and he came up and says, can I have a word, lads? He said, yeah. He says, I'd just like to say thank you for taking photographs of me and my team and my family. And I thought that was a really nice thing to say. Might not mean much to a lot of people, but that means a lot to me, for that team leader to come up and say that. And I thought that was really kind, really nice. Didn't want any thanks, but that I'll always remember that. Yeah.
Top man is Clive. And other outings of the Classic TT last year, two new winners, Dave O. Johnson, David Johnson, and Jamie Coward finally joining the Classic TT.
Yeah, Jamie from Ebden Bridge. Yeah, Jamie. Yeah, yes. Character is Jamie. We've known Jamie for quite a long time now, haven't we? And he's always been the same. He's always been there to talk. And, His mum Sally's, great fan of his, obviously, and his good lady, and he won one. So he was like a bit like Guy, wasn't he? But the Brad's made a lot, but he actually won one. And the bike that he won on, he loves racing that motorcycle. If he hadn't said it once, he said it a dozen times. He loves racing that
motorcycle. Oh, he loves the bikes. Ted Wolf and the Craven team. John Craven. And as I said, David Johnson, Superbike Classic T2. Obviously, we know it was misfortune for Michael Dunlop, but you've got to be in it to win it.
Yeah, you've got to finish to win it. Yeah. Dave O, another huge character in the paddock. Big hit with all the fans, always got a smile on his face, always got time for everybody, always got time for you to take a photograph, autograph. He gets on the bike and he's there, and he's there nibbling at the ankles of the top four, isn't he? All the time, and he came home with a win, and it was well received, and he always has a lot of Aussie fans there from Oz, obviously cheering him on, so it was good to see. Yeah, it was good. Yeah, I like that. It makes all better for the racing, isn't it, I think.
Oh yeah, you like to see good guys win, don't you? Yeah. I mean, they're all good guys, really.
Oh yeah, yeah, they're all heroes in my eyes, because I can't do what they do.
And I'm joining Dave on the podium last year for another first. Dave had a second mountain course podium finish, but for Derek Shields, his first mountain course podium finish.
Yeah, another great racer, another great, you know, Irish road racer as well. Won all sorts of championships.
Triple Irish road racer, great champion.
Yeah. And for him to get on the podium was fantastic. Yeah. Obviously, Irish road race fans know Derek well, don't they? But a lot of other people don't think a real lot like him there. But he's a top road racer, is Derek. Yeah, really good racer. Yeah.
And also last year we had the Senior Classic TT, John McGuinness winning it for the third time. But obviously congratulations to John on another fantastic achievement.
Won it on the pattern, didn't he?
Yeah, on the Team Winfield pattern. But for me, one of the big stories of that race was Stefano Bonetti getting on the podium.
Yeah. So Stefano, you see, I don't know many patterns was in that race. Do you remember?
Well, the top four, I think three of the top four were on patterns.
Yeah. So the bike to be on was
the pattern, yeah.
So yeah, it was a good result for Stefano, wasn't it, that? Yeah, and all the Italian fans. Marta would have been cheering like that,
wouldn't she? But Stefano, only the second, or one of only two races from Italy this decade, but for the past decade, to gain a podium finish on the mountain course with Francesco Caringa, which did the Maxim Prix, and also he was on the pattern as well. So there's just a little stat, little fact there.
Yeah, they're very popular in their patterns.
They're great bikes, and I know people say they've got
great bikes. They're not cheap though, are they? Imagine what there's nothing cheap in road racing, is there? Nothing cheap in motorsport, but then patterns are expensive, aren't they? I mean, the road bikes were so at the
NEC motorcycle.
What was that one we saw? Was that it?
So the 40 grand, possibly. I'm not quoters on that.
No, it was 25 on it or something.
But for me, they're exceptional bikes. I know they say they've got a Kawasaki engine, and you know, there's different people have different opinions on them. But for me, I think they're fantastic machines, and they provide something different. It's great to see.
Got a
pattern.
Obviously, got an exceptional chassis, haven't they?
Right, yeah. Yes, yeah.
Because
that's what it is. What's we'll say about our classic TT memories? Dean Harrison's obviously last year went on the results sheet, because he had a crash during practice week.
I think he broke some ribs, didn't he?
He broke some ribs.
Yeah.
But prior to last year, back-to-back Superbike Classic TT winner, won the Senior Classic TT. I think he won a Formula 3 Classic TT as well, won on a BSA as well, and that had gone down well with you, Stephen, because you own a BSA.
No, oh, yeah, I've got my little 250 BSA, haven't I? My little 30 mile an hour steed.
But and obviously, mentioning before, Michael Dunlop's won countless times at the Classic, and Ian Locker's won at the Classic twice, but Chris Palmer's won multiple races. It's you don't say who's ill with international road racing near the front, but you also see the Classic specialists, and we do see a lot more upcoming rising stars.
Yeah, look at Matt Perslow.
Yeah.
See, Matt Perslow, he puts a lot of time, everybody puts a lot of time in a bit. I'm not taking it away from anybody, but Max Perslow, you see, he likes doing classic racing, doesn't he?
Oh, that does. Another top rider.
Yeah.
Great upcoming talent from Wales.
I think a good cross-section of machinery as well, isn't they?
Oh, it's 350s, 250s, 750s.
Millions of pounds worth of race bikes that go.
Oh, millions. So priceless.
And a lot of fans go just to see all the classic bikes anyhow, don't they? Well, that's what it's about, classic TT, isn't it?
It's like teams like John Chapman Racing. John Chapman owns, don't he, tons of great classic bikes.
Yeah, John Chapman, he just lives across the river from us, doesn't he? He owns a lot of machines, doesn't he?
Right, and to end our first topic, which I would decide on what's been, for you, Stephen, the most, out of all the bikes you've seen at the Classic, your favourite bike you've seen?
My favourite bike was Brian Reid's till 50. That just brings back memories for me. I've always been a Brian Reid fan anyhow, but so I'm a little bit biased. But you asked what one of my favourite was. It was Brian Reid on his till 50.
Well, I've got a couple. I like seeing the replica bike to tribute to Bob McIntyre's 100 miles per hour lap, the 1957 that Michael Dunlop piloted in 2016, and also the Vimto Honda that John McGuinness rode.
Yeah, John McGuinness. Yeah, it's his one. I think, I don't know if it is his favourite bike or one of his favourite. Well, obviously one of his favourite bikes, but he just loved that Vimto Honda. Of course, he won the Gold Cup on it, didn't he?
And the Daytona 200.
Daytona
200 on the 250 or the 500, but he did win at Daytona.
Well, if John's listening, he'll let us know, no doubt.
Sure, I will. One thing I always liked about the Vimto bike was I always thought the colour scheme was really distinctive anyway, with the purple and the.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, it's one of the great examples of product placement if you're a sponsor, what you can get from sponsoring a bike racing team. Just before that, how many people in motorsport really knew the name Vimto?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's still an advertising icon now.
Yeah, it still is now.
Because all them photographs that are going round of John's bike are still out there, aren't they?
Yes.
So it's still advertising that company. Yeah.
And also, speaking of the Vimto name, we should mention late but great Joey Dunlop rode under the Vimto colours.
He did.
Like the TT in 2000 and set his fastest ever lap on a Vimto sponsored bike. Right,
he must have had a can of Vimto before the race.
I think Joey did be on raw talent, didn't he?
Oh yeah, he could just drink a glass of water and he'd go and win anyhow, wouldn't he?
Well, on to the news and continuing with the classic TT theme, it's been announced recently that Dean Harrison, this is all pending the event taking place, will be on this August for Green Hall Racing Kawasaki.
Yeah, well, a good team, really good
proven team.
But the thing that gets me is previous to that, it was on a
Silicone 750 Kawasaki. Bit of a surprise, but again, similar, the same spec of bike.
Yeah, a different colour, the green, red and white, aren't they, for the bikes.
But again, this is all pending the event taking place. We'll be on a bike same as Derek Shields and Paul Sager.
We've got to think positive, aren't we? You know, it's all this bloody negativity going on. But he's made the announcement, hasn't he? So
the Green Hall team's made the announcement.
Green Hall team, sorry. So there'll be three riders in that team.
Yes. And speaking of one of the riders in that team, Derek Shields would have been racing for the Brico Penske Coffers Penske Fate team, BMW team at the TT.
Yeah.
Rather had the TT cancellation and would have been racing at Cookstown last weekend, which would have taken place again before event cancellation.
And would have been on the Penske bike then, would he?
No, he'd have been on the Roadhouse Macau BMW. So similar to BMW, but Roadhouse Macau supported.
Would he have been at the Northwest with the Penske team?
I'm not sure, but I wouldn't have been surprised.
I mean, I wouldn't be
don't
surprised
know officially.
They use it as a shakedown for the TT, don't they?
And speaking as well about the TT, there's potential for a virtual TT, according to Manx Radio.
Oh, okay.
So I know nothing could replace the real TT, the rawness, the uniqueness of racing around the mountain course and viewing it for spectators. But if there's one virtually, it'd still be something for the fans to look forward to. And
well, it's some if you know, if people are still self isolating and stuff like that, it'd be something for fans to listen to. It's a different perspective, and also the races that take part would be a different perspective as well, wouldn't it? Because they're obviously excellent at racing a motorcycle, but are they excellent on them toggle controls on the TV? Because I'm absolutely rubbish, so I don't even bother like. So, yeah, that'd be good.
Imatra Naja, Finland's most famous race circuit and road race circuit, was unfortunately the meeting for this year has been cancelled, but the dates for next year's event are the 2nd to the 4th of July.
Right.
Have you ever wanted to go to Imatra, Stephen? What's the...
Yeah. I'd like to have done a lot of things, but life happens, doesn't it? Yeah. I know you're going to say, well, you can do it if you want to do this, but anyway... That's what happens,
And
if a match want to invite us there, our expenses paid, I'll go.
And obviously, Imatra's been part of the IRRC schedule since 2016. The IRRC series for 2020, unfortunately, has been cancelled, but there is a chance of IRRC-affiliated events taking place later this year at Horace and Froberg, respectively in the Czech Republic and Germany. And there's positive is the new tie between Norton and TVS. We're hearing a lot of positive.
Yeah, if chat. What's been put out in press, media, whatever, is true, there might be some recompense for customers who've lost the bikes or haven't obtained the bikes for the thousands and thousands of pounds that they've laid out. So fingers crossed that happens, and also for people that have lost out money in the actual previous Norton deals and things that have gone on. So there'll be some compensation there, and hopefully I'm on the plus side. They've already said that they're going to move the factory. I think they'll be still doing some building and work on the bikes in this country, and some work in India. So I personally knew that the brand would get snaffled up anyhow, because everybody knows the Norton brand, everybody. So it is good news, and let's hope it's got a bright, rosy future, because if it has, I would have thought that there would be a road racing team, and
we'll not be surprised.
We'll be surprised, and there'll be nice seeing them bikes. Obviously, the big internationals.
For TT 2021, Peter Rittman will be on Norton Superlight bike prepared in his Peter Rittman Racing workshop.
Yeah.
So it's racing supported. But
So I can see links with that coming forward. And I think it's good. I think it's good.
Well, the final main news this week revolves around the Taz Racing team, with Ian Hutchinson returning to the Taz team for the first time in 2 years. 2 years. What do you make of that, Stelson? They're now known as the Sinotech BMW team.
Well, to make the announcement now, after the TT's been cancelled, that says to me, personally, that's going to go forward into next year, in my opinion.
I'd be surprised.
Obviously, his road from before didn't all go to plan at Honda for one reason or another, but we won't go there. And I look forward to seeing him on his racing the BMW for Taz. It's always been exciting to watch anyhow, and I think he's quite exciting to watch at post press interviews as well, to be truthful with you. But yeah, it'll be good to see. Yeah, well, look forward to it. So at least there's something else there sorted out, because the length of time that it goes on, the speculation and people who say different things, it gets a bit all out of proportion.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Well, for my 10 questions challenge this week, obviously last week we did classic one, was previously with Josh Brooks. This week's one's with Steve Plater, 8 times Northwest 200 winner, twice TT winner, 2009 senior TT winner, former British Supersport champion.
And now he's a commentator, punter, isn't he?
Presenter,
yeah, you name it, he's in there, he's Steve, isn't he?
Well, with questions asked him back in 2018, his favourite national roads meeting, he said he only raced at Macau, Northwest 200 and TT, all internationals, TT being the favourite. Favourite racing bike, 2009 TT winning Honda Fireblade, but best race bike I've ridden, Kenny Roberts Jr.'s 1999 factory RG500 Suzuki. And his best bet about competing on the roads, winning.
Yeah.
TT Northwest 200 Ulster Grand Prix. It's interesting answers, actually. Never raced the Ulster, TT best, but Northwest 200 best mass start event. His most respected racing rival, John Crawford. Best roads moment thus far, winning the senior TT. And with regards to one place, a country in the world where he'd like to see a roads meeting held, he said England. I think that's the same for lots of us. Who's your road racing hero, Ian Hutchinson? Supersport or Superbike, Superbike, and pole position or fastest lap? Neither, just the win will do. Well, to end this week's podcast, a few facts and the bamboozle facts. It's 15 years since, it's nearly 15 years since Cameron Donald first competed at the TT.
That's the longest. I don't know where the time goes. Yeah.
And it's also nearly 11 years since the People's Bike Team first emerged onto the real road scene, running Steve Mercer and James Ford.
Yeah, then again, you see, it only seems that it seems to me like about 3 or 4 years ago that it was going, but you lose track of time, don't they, obviously.
You
obviously. Yeah. Well, the but going back to, sorry to interrupt you, going back to the People's Bike Team, they've actually put a lot of riders on the scene, haven't they?
A
lot of riders on.
A little bit of great Dan Hegarty, little great Alwyn Bonner, they've helped Stephen Thompson out, they've helped Mark Miller out, I think. Might be wrong. But they've also helped Therese Hardesty, Matt Stevenson, Stephen Trevor Parsons, the Manx Grand Prix, and Tom Whedon as well. So yeah, they've helped lots of coming riders out, and they're another great stalwart in the paddock.
Yeah.
And well, from last week, the Bamboozler question they asked was, can you name who two of the eight last senior Manx Grand Prix winners are who have been triumph mounted? So, over the last 8 years. John Simpson in 2012 was triumph mounted for the Split Life Redmond Motorsport team. And in 2016, Tom Whedon made his triumph on his own team's 675 Daytona Triumph.
Yes, he did, yeah.
And we remember that race well, don't we?
We do, yeah, because as we mentioned before, I don't know what he did on that last lap, but he pulled some out of the bottom of his boots, did Tommy. It was, yeah, that determined look on his
great
face.
Great race between him and Andy Dudgeon, that fantastic race.
And if Andy Dudgeon's listening, I hope you're recovering, mate.
Yep. This week's bamboozle question, it might seem hard, but actually I think it is quite a hard question this week, actually. But it'll test your road racing knowledge. The last racer to pilot KTM machinery at the TT races was?
It was, I can't
answer.
Sort of give it away. I don't know.
All that's left to say is keep positive, keep going. And thanks again to Stephen. And
I'm just taking part. You're the main person who spends hours and hours and hours diligently researching, finding out, getting in touch with riders and teams and people and conversing with lots of people online and stuff like that.
I should mention in regards to special thanks to everybody again who's taken part so far in the Maxim Pre-Toxic Series. Greatly appreciated. All I have to say again is keep positive, keep going. And this has been the Road Racing News Podcast.
Yeah. See you next week, guys. Bye.
Bye.